Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends. And Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. And Chag Sameach, happy holiday. You're like, what? What? Well, we're celebrating Tu Bishvat. You're like, what? Well, I'll tell you more about that later. But right now, let's listen to Jonathan Sattel. And by the way, today you're going to hear a pre-recorded interview with Bert Rosenberg. He's got a lot to say. You're going to love it. I'll be right back. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu Chai. Od Avinu. Of course, that was Jonathan Sattel. God bless him. Love that voice. Ladies and gentlemen of the Rochester area and around the world, Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Come on and fellowship with us every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 1326 North Winton Road in Arondakoit. Now, while you're there, please check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It is open after services every Saturday from around noon to 1, and it's open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7 and Thursdays from 1 to 6. The Fig Tree Bookstore is where you can get gifts for everyone in the family. They have CDs of great Messianic music, prayer shawls, shofars, books about sharing Messiah, books about the Jewish holidays, cards and jewelry. That's the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. And if you happen to live in Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo, and you love Messianic music, maybe you'd like to visit a congregation, you don't want to come all the way to Rochester, well, guess what? Buffalo has a great Messianic congregation. It's called Brith Hadashah. They're located at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, and their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Now, here's something for you to put on your calendar, because seats are going to fill up fast Saturday night, February 24th. It's the annual Bagels and Blessings Variety Show and Bake Sale. It's my big fundraiser that I do once a year. Great talent, great goodies, raffle prizes, lots of Bagels and Blessings t-shirts, a spa package to Pharaoh's harem, lots of cool raffle prizes. That's Saturday night, February 24th. It's at Shema, 1326 North Winton Road, and it's from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m., $5 a person, $10 a family. So that is Saturday night, February the 24th, and I hope that all y'all will come. Amen. Jonathan's going to just finish out the song any second now. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Hey, well, guess what? Okay, I said we were celebrating Tu Bishvat, and you're like, huh? Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. Congregation Shema Yisrael sent out this very informative email to all of us, and I'm just going to read a little bit to you. Tu Bishvat is Arbor Day in Israel, where people buy a seedling and they take it to a designated planting area to plant, or maybe they even plant it on their own property. And it's very important in Israel because when pioneers began to return to the land, it was desolate. There were no trees. Restoration of the land involved both establishing farmland and restoring the forests. After 100 years of reforestation, Israel is no longer desolate. The millions of trees that have been planted have actually changed the climate of Israel by retaining moisture. That's why there's so much concern in Israel when there's a forest fire like the one in Carmel a few years ago, or when there are incidents of intentional arson or rockets exploding in forested areas. Jewish people in the diaspora, that is the rest of the world, often make a donation to plant a tree in a designated forest in Israel in memory of a deceased loved one or of a special event like a bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, birth, or wedding. So you may, at some point in your life, decide that you'd like to purchase a tree to be planted in Israel. And there are several different websites where you can do that. There's a messianic forest and there's a traditional forest in Israel. You could look it up on your Google and just say, how do I plant a tree in Israel? And it would direct you on how to do that. It's a wonderful way to honor someone who's living or to have a nice memory of someone who's passed on. So that's a little bit about Tu B'Shvat that we're celebrating. And right now, the band Mikadem has a great song called Be'Elohim. What in the world are they singing about? Well, their songs are all in Hebrew, but there's a site that I go to and has all the English lyrics from Mikadem. This song, Be'Elohim, comes from Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Selah. Oh, I just love it. Well, in honor of Tu Bishvat, and as we're thinking about the land of Israel, we know that it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's Rivka Witten from the CD for such a time as this, Eretz Zavat Chalav.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road.
Check them out online at www.ucccroc.com. And guess what? Dr. Ed is going to come back to the studio February 10th. We're going to talk more about what chiropractic care can do for you and what did they do in biblical times, back in the Old Testament days when they had back trouble. That's going to be an interesting question I'm going to ask him. I hope he can answer me. All right, I'm sure he can. Next up, Paul Wilbur has revived the song It Is Good, and I personally, I'm sure you will agree, I think it is good to praise the Lord.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. Hallelujah. Sing for joy at all your hands have made. How great are your works, O Lord, Elohim Baruch Hashem. La la la, 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 la la la.
Again, that was Paul Wilbur, and I got to tell you, the name of the CD is Revive, and I feel revived just hearing this music. It just makes me want to get up and run around. Hallelujah. Whew! Well, I want to thank everybody who's helping me stay on the air, and it's so exciting. I got to share a little bit at my congregation this morning about how amazed I am at God's blessing me all these years. It's now over 20 years that Bagels and Blessings has been on the air, and it's truly a miracle. It really is. And it's only because people like you are supporting me, and I don't even know everybody who's supporting me. We have this like big jug in the congregation, and people just slip money in there and coins, and I mean, it's always just full of money, and I never know who's contributing. Don't worry, it's locked up, safe and sound. If don't get any ideas. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody. If you would like to help keep Bagels and Blessings on the air, you just need to go to bagelsandblessings.com. And you can click on the donate button, or if you want to just, you know, write a check out for $1,000 and send it to P.O. Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. I would not turn that away either. But anyway, I do want to thank one of my sponsors, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Now, I have recommended them to so many people. And everybody's just really happy with them. And, you know, just call them up and tell them Ethel sent you. 889-7840. 585-889-7840. They're family owned and operated. They are very moral, decent people who love the Lord. And they have very fair prices. They don't make you wait. And I can't say enough good things about them. We got our new furnace from them. Good people, good company. They're excellent. 585-889-7840. Just tell them that Ethel sent you. And right now, oh, a beautiful song. Way back when, there was a group called Lamb. Joel Chernoff was part of it. And this is from their Lamb trilogy, Comfort Ye My People. And may these words just reach down into your soul, and may you be comforted with them today.
No more will you turn to another for help. Now will you turn to yourself, to yourself. Now will you say,
if you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe and Deli. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael. That's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme, 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 gimme bagels tonight.
All right, folks, there is no time for you to go on the air, but I still want to hear those phones ringing off the hook. In just a few moments, you'll hear my interview with Bert Rosenberg. But right now, if you'd like to win a coupon for bagels, all you got to do is call 222-2990 and just answer this question. What is the longest chapter in the Bible? What is the longest chapter in the Bible? 222-2990. I want everybody, stop what you're doing, pull off the side of the road, call now, 222-2990 for a coupon for bagels. And right now, it is my pleasure to bring with you my interesting and informative and fun interview with Bert Rosenberg. Shalom, Bert Rosenberg. Welcome back to...
Shalom, your own self.
Welcome back to Bagels and Blessings.
Oh, great to be here. Great to be anywhere.
Well, so my favorite Joy Spritzer, live on the phone.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Before we start, I would like to say hello to your listeners by name. Hello and shalom to Ronnie, Johnny, Lonnie, Donnie, Bonnie, Connie, Vonnie, and Moish. We can't forget Moish just because he doesn't rhyme.
Oh, this is great. I love it. All right, good. Are you going to name all the others, too?
There are more?
I hope so.
We'll get to them. Oh,
you're wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Well, for the benefit of those listeners that didn't hear the first broadcast so many moons ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
When we were young and innocent.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if you could refresh our memories and tell us a little bit about how you were raised, you know, in your faith. Like, were you raised in a typical Jewish home?
I was. I was raised in a Jewish home, conservative Jewish home, although we went to an Orthodox synagogue, an Orthodox shul. My parents... they had a mom-and-pop grocery store on the corner in Washington, D.C., 14th and D Street, Northeast. And we lived above the store, you know, one of those things, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they worked in the store 6.5 days a week. And on Sunday, they'd close at 12. My parents would take a nap, and then we would go and eat Chinese food.
Yum.
And my father, he was a joy bringer. He was a godly man. He was a rare soul. And we were raised absolutely Jewish. Now you know good and well that there's the cultural Jewishness, right?
Right.
And then there is the Torah, there's the rabbinical, there's the Maimonides version, there's, you know, the scriptural persons, the Hebrew scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went, you know, I did go to Shabbat school, and so I was really raised in that with a love for Israel, and also I was taught that the history of the Jewish people was all the places that we got thrown out of. So, you know, they call it the diaspora. And, you know, the history, all these places we got thrown out of Spain, we got thrown out of Portugal, we got thrown out everywhere. And so the question I had for the rabbi was, what did we do? Was it something we said? What kind of thing? So I was absolutely, you know, raised in all of that. And on Sunday, we had a full Jewish spread, you know, bagels, lox, onion pretzels, onion rolls, cream cheese, lox, sable, whitefish.
I'm getting hungry.
The whole schmear.
Yum.
Yeah. So now, I mean, see that? bonds Jewish people, as well as the history of how God preserved us through all of that. You know, Dayenu and Dayenu and Dayenu, you know. If he had only preserved us in Egypt, Dayenu. If he had only gotten us out of Egypt, Dayenu.
Yeah.
Only preserved us on the way, Dayenu. If he had only parted the Red Sea, Dayenu. So I grew up with that. And, you know, now that I've come to faith in Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, life is Dayenu. It's just one Dayenu after another. Dayenu, by the way, means, as you well know, it would have been enough. It
yes.
would have been enough. But at Seder's, you know, we sing, Dai, Dayenu, Dai, Dayenu, right?
We do, we do. But how did this nice Jewish boy find faith in Yeshua?
Well, people ask me that because, believe me, I was raised that there's us and there's them. There's the Jewish people and there's the Christians. And the twain don't meet, and many of them are very nice people. I was not taught to disrespect anybody or hate anybody, but there is us and there is them. And they... with them, we go in and out of vogue. We go in and out of vogue. I mean, one era, we are oracles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The next era, they want to get rid of us. What it was years ago in the, the medieval times, they had this evangelism explosion, which basically was, accept our Lord or we will peel your skin off.
Yikes.
You know? They call it the Crusades. And so Billy Graham, God bless him, he called his meetings Crusades. The Billy Graham Crusades. And so whenever we hear Crusades, we would turn around and tippy-toe out of there. See what I mean? So there was this separation that the Hebrew Scriptures, commonly known as the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, were essentially two books at war with each other. They're fighting each other, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was taught. We don't go there in the new Covenant. We are in the Hebrew Scriptures. Because they are at odds. It was only later that I found out that, guess what? One reveals the coming of Messiah and who Messiah is and who Messiah would be. And it says in the Hebrew Scriptures, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the one I made with your forefathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. A new covenant that would be an interior, an inner experience of the presence of God. And I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. So I've come to see that in our journey in the Lord, I would say this. Here's the way I like to put it. He brings us to what it is by the default of what it ain't. He brings us to what it is by the default of what it ain't. And when we have had a snootful of what it ain't, we cry out. We say, I'm in what it ain't. How do I get to what it is? And he says, I is. I is the is. You know?
Well, how did your life change after you accepted Yeshua?
I'm sorry?
How did your life change after you accepted Yeshua?
Okay, great question.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. When I came to faith, it really and truly was a death and a resurrection. It was ineffable. My old, quote-unquote, friends, and many, if not all, of my relatives had no use for me. My mother, God bless her, people always, when you come to faith, people always ask you, what did your mother say? What did your mama say? They threw you out, didn't they? So it was kind of another diaspora, a personal mini diaspora. My relatives thought I had taken ever-loving leave of my brain, that I had gone nuts. And I'm not saying I didn't, but it wasn't because of that. My Jewish relatives, they could not relate. They couldn't believe it. I would go to family affairs, family functions, and they would come up to me, and their eyes would squint, and they'd look at me, and they'd go, I heard you don't believe in Jesus, do you? And I would say, I do. And they would go, God, what? You know. I would tell my relatives, I would say, you know, this world is not my home. And my aunt would say, well, we're sorry our world doesn't suit you.
Oh, no.
We're sorry. Bert doesn't like our world, Harry. Well, excuse me, but this is the world we have here. You know, it says in Scripture, things of the Spirit are foolishness to the worldly mind, you know. You can't explain. I was a new believer, of course, right at that time. And I knew enough not to harangue people for harangue people for Messiah, you know, and mm-hmm. not to just go on and on and on and not to witness out of season. At least that was my intent. My witnessing approach was to love them. Love never fails. And, but, you know, some of them, they just, not only did they not appreciate my coming to faith, they thought it was a rejection of them. They thought I had turned my back on my people. Au contraire. It was kind of though none go with me, yet I will follow situation. And another way my life had changed, prior to coming to the Lord, I had worked in comedy clubs, you know, doing comedy, and it was going well. And, went up to New York, prior to coming to faith, I had a booking at the Improv up in New York City.
Wow.
And I went up on a bus. I didn't have any money, and I went up with these other comedy mongers from the D.C. area. I went up there, and I did a set at the Improv. But on the way there, in the bus station, there was this woman there with a sign behind her, and it said, Jesus Saves. And she's passing out tracts and booklets, and she is getting ignored by the multitudes. People are going around her. And I was trying to go around her myself. I had a booking at the Improv, so, you know, I can't get hung up in all that. So I'm walking by, and she steps in my path, points her finger in my face, and says, are you doing the will of God in your life? And I said, hey, I'm trying, sister. And she looks at me, and I looked at her, and she said three words that I have never forgotten, and it impacted my life. She said, I said, I'm trying, sister. She says, don't try. Surrender.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Don't try. Surrender. And I said, yeah, okay. And I kept going. But, man, that got in like an arrow. And then God would send these different people in whom he was living. And I would look in their eyes, just like with that lady in the bus station. I would look in her, I looked in her eyes, and there was somebody home in there. That's different than somebody that went to the How to Evangelize Jews seminar. This was somebody that was a lighthouse, a person. And he kept sending these people that had the light in them. And I thought, what? Where? And little by little by little, he presented himself to me, and I did surrender. But you asked me, and how did my life change? I sat at his feet, and I got calls to do comedy gigs, and I didn't know whether to do it or not, because old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And I got a call from a guy, and he says, I got a gig for you if you want it. He says, I heard you got into the religion. He says, I heard you got into the Jews for Jesus. I heard you got religion. And I said, well, Jews for Jesus is a particular organization, and I have surrendered my life to the Lord. He says, well, do you want to do this gig? And I said, can I call you back? He said, sure. I called the person that brought me to the Lord. And I said to him, his name is Art Herman, and we are still beautiful, fast friends after all these years. In fact, I'm just over his house for Christmas dinner the other day. I called him, and I said, I got a booking here, and I'm a new creation. Do you think I should do it? I could use the money. And he says, well, you know, he, the Lord, is presently living. And if you ask him a question, he will give you an answer in the here and the now. I said, whoa, that is incredible. I got off the phone. I prayed my first audible prayer after salvation. I said, Lord, here's this engagement, here's this gig. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. If you don't want me to do it, I won't do it. And I was waiting to hear from him, and I began to put my head into what I would have to do to come up with something for this particular gig. And I sensed a withdrawal of his presence. Now, I know now he doesn't drop in and drop out, you know.
Uh-huh.
I will never leave you nor forsake you, he says. But I sensed that his spirit was not undergirding this, that there was no spirit leading in that. And I took that as an answer, and I called the guy back, and I said, I'm not going to do it. And he says, okay. In other words, it was made no sense to that guy, because he's thinking, a comedian is irreverent. You don't get reverent. You know, reverent kills your career. You know. And so I had to take some time away to be still and to sit at his feet and learn. I was in a fellowship, a very good fellowship, and I went to every blessed thing they had any time they opened the door, and I was learning and listening and listening and learning without the pressure of having to be funny or having to perform, because I was in transition. I was in a cocoon. metamorphosis, a dark place. It wasn't that dark. I mean, but what I mean is a place that's different, where you are quiet in process. And that's the situation I was in. After a time, by his Spirit, he began to show me that he is going to use that which he created me to be. He created me to be something, and, you know, each of us has been created to be something ain't nobody ever seen before. Because if somebody else could be what you are, what he's created you for, you wouldn't have needed to be born. So he began to present. He gave me ideas. He gave me thoughts. He gave me some people. We put together an improv group. It was called the Big Fun in the Spirit Players. The Big Fun in the Spirit Players. And we would do these improvs and do these shows and do these plays. We got invited to do it at a coffee house at the fellowship. And that people really, really dug it because it was totally unreligious and it was jubilant and it was infused with the presence of the Spirit of God and the gospel.
Sounds wonderful.
It was wonderful. I can say that. I'm boasting in him. And then we were invited to another place. And then we were invited to another place. And then next thing you know, we're doing these Messiah conferences and Jesus festivals and this thing and that thing. And as we dared forward, he opened the door. And then you dare through that door. And so my attitude was whenever he opened up a window, I jumped through it. I jumped out of it. And he just began to open things and open things. Now, I was in this improv group, the Big Fun in the Spirit Players, with my dear friend Fred Cunningham and some others. But there came a point when they felt the need to make some money and eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I wasn't even thinking about that stuff, you know? I was just thinking, you just do it, and God provides. This was all new to me, but I was willing to dare, and I would hear these sermons. We don't want a bunch of pew sitters. We want people that are going to go out and dare and trust God, that God will press you beyond, and that he will not lead you where he will not provide for you. I said, okay. And I knew good and well I did not want to be one of these ministries that the main purpose of the ministry is asking people for money all the time and, you know, and going to these seminars of how to raise money and how to find out who your donors are and drill them to death. You know, there's 20% of your donors give 80% of the money. This is in these seminars that you can take, you know. 20% of your donors give 80% of the money. So you find out who they are, and you keep drilling them with crises. Don't take me off. Don't take me off the radio. Don't take me somewhere. Now, I said, I am not going to do that because I don't know how to do a ministry. He's going to have to show me from inside out. But the next thing you know, I was doing it as an individual. Without the group, without the Big Fun in the Spirit Players, because I was willing to take a leap and trust God for an unknown way. And I have to say, he has done it. He has made a way all these years, open up new things, new places. I started traveling all over the country, everywhere. I've been just about every state. Been, you know, it was amazing because I said, "Hineni, here I am, Lord, send me."
You know, Bert, I know you go around spreading joy. That's why you're called a joy spritzer. And maybe somebody that's listening would really like you to come and lead a joy seminar or do your shtick or just speak to a group. How would someone contact you?
Well, there's several ways. One is they can go to my website, which is joyseminars.com, joyseminars.com. But probably the quickest and best way would be to just contact me personally, and it's more direct. Just go to joyseminars@aol.com, joyseminars@aol.com. I'm the last guy in AOL. I'm holding up the fort in there.
I think there's too many people that are lacking joy, and somebody like you might just be what they need.
Well, I would love that, and thank you for asking. Joyseminars@AOL.com. Perfect. Also, I have a phone, and the phone number of the ministry here is 703-860-2009. And these joy seminars, you know, I went from just doing comedy in the Lord, you know, because laughs is a joyful noise. But the Lord made a way that I go deeper with not just yucks, but liberating truth. And in these seminars, some of it is one day or one service. Some of it is a couple of days over a weekend, or even sometimes 3 days, Friday night, Saturday, and all day Saturday, and half a day on Sunday. And part of it is I have this thing, it's called 13 Joy Killers. These are things that we hang on to, sometimes in the name of the Lord, that we hang on with a death grip because we think we're being faithful to God, and they're quenching the spirit, and we are miserable, but we have to tell everybody how joyful it all is. And, you know, we don't have to lie for God. You know, we can be honest with God, but His purpose for us is joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. So I have these 13 joy killers. And I mean, I could tell you what some of them are, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, it would kind of take too long. And then I have another part of the joy seminar, which is how to make preemptive strikes and to create joy in your life. And all of these things I illustrate with things that I experienced. And none of these things are merely theoretical. All these things that I share, hopefully with a joyous attitude and with some laughs. But it's how to live joyfully from inside out and not expect joy from outside in all the time. For example, let me give you one of these joy killers. One of them is believing some other person can make you happy.
That's a big one.
Oh, mercy. Believing some other person can make you happy. And that's because, you know, a lot of people went to Disney World, and in there they heard, someday my prince will come. You know.
Right.
And it's almost a superstition. Someday my prince will come. In fact, I wrote a poem. Let me give you this poem real quick. He even came for us superstitious, who still remain so, though we're no longer vicious, just waiting for someday our prince will come to take us and shake us and make us not numb. But he's already come and done all he can do. You're waiting for him, but he's waiting for you.
Wow. That's really amazing. That's really amazing.
The truth. The truth is amazing.
Yeah. We do have to sort of wrap it up. I'm so sorry. I have a feeling like I could interview you for an hour, and we probably still wouldn't get to all of it. But it's come to the end of our time together.
And
I think that we're going to just need to have you on the air again sometime.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. But I would love, you know, for your blessed listeners, if they would be interested in a joy seminar, get a hold of me. I'm easy. You know, I'm not one of these distant, highfalutin people that you can't get to, you know. And I would love to do a joy seminar. Get a hold of me here, and somebody will contact you, me or someone. I have a booking person, and we would explore the possibilities. So that's what that is.
Well, that's awesome. I have some ideas. I'll talk with you offline about them, but I'm really excited, and I hope that we will talk on air again sometime, and I pray the Lord would continue to open doors for you and provide all that you need, and may he continue to bless you as you bless others.
Thank you. That's what you're doing.
I'm trying.
I'm doing what you're doing.
Well, oh, you're sweet. Well, God bless you, my dear.
He makes a unique way for each of us, but I tell people at the end of my joy seminar that, you know, God wants to do something unique in you and through you, and if it's any inspiration to you, I'm getting away with this.
That's great. That is great. You're wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Bert, and I will talk with you soon.
Lord willing, and I look forward to it. Blessings to your heart.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
That was Bert Rosenberg, and if you want him to come and spread some joy to your congregation, you can contact me and I'll put you in touch with him. You can always email me at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com. But right now, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein. The Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Vayismorecha Yager Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yes Adonai Panavalecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Now be sure to tune in next week where you'll hear a pre-recorded interview with Messianic Rabbi Irving Salzman. It's going to be fantastic, darling. Have a wonderful week and Shabbat Shalom!